Good morning, 25th of July 2009. This is Audio Gravity. Welcome. Sorry, we're playing a little bit of catch up. We've been very busy on the ammoboxproject.com, which is our latest and greatest little exercise into raising awareness from video hosts to provide funding for ammo boxes of equipment, audio and video, to go around from venue to venue. Anyway, first link today is layar.eu, L-A-Y-A-R.eu. Browse the world, the world's first mobile augmented reality browser. Now, I'm not really bothered about this whole world's first thing. I think companies really need to drop that stuff because it's just sort of ego that's not needed. Regardless if you're first or last or in the middle, somebody's going to come along and make a better version, period. Do you get the kudos from being first? Yes, for a short amount of time, but really, people are very fickle these days. It all depends on the community, the amount of people who are actually using the product, continue to use the product, how many release cycles you get. So please, can we stop saying world's first? I'm not bothered about that stuff. I'm just bothered about the technology that drives the stuff. What's cool about Layar is you have the ability, and at the minute it looks like it's only on Android, to point your mobile phone using your camera. You can literally take a photo or scan, show an area. Like, for instance, they have a demo in Amsterdam where they're showing this grid laid on the top of a picture. And it calculates from your position, from geolocation, and also imagery that the camera is capturing, various stuff in your locality. So basically you can find layers of ATMs, bars, houses for sale, hotels, and all sorts of other cool stuff. And it does this all in real time. So, and it sort of adds this as a layer of ambience on top of the stuff that you do. Very, very cool stuff. This is definitely the future of smartphone technology in terms of having a fast enough processor to process this information. So the iPhone 3GS is going to be a lot faster than the iPhone 3G. So something like augmented reality on that is going to be a lot better. And you're going to see it more and more. You're going to get to the point where you can literally pull your device out, point it to something, and you're going to get all the sort of data set back and information about that. This adds into Google Maps and doorstep and stuff really well. Second link today is over on Gowalla. Gowalla.com. Gowalla is a location-based travel game that rewards you for visiting both everyday and extraordinary places with your iPhone. So this is very similar to a lot of the things that are happening nowadays, is that lots of sites are building in geolocation features. Geolocation being picking up GPS details from your location, picking up details from your triangulation of where you are via your mobile phone mast in terms of picking up the mobile phone signal. They can triangulate your position down to a couple of meters, so they can work out roughly where you are. They can serve up information to your local area. This is just another way of getting that information, and then they've turned it into a game. And the game is more along the lines of, you know, you're in a place and you say that you like this place, and you know, there's a nice bar, but nice restaurant, and they're creating a game around it, but really they're using the data to feed that back to companies who might be looking at trying to build out geolocation services. Looks cool. You should definitely sign up. It's still very young, so I've not actually got access to it yet, but it looks really, really cool. It looks like it could be a really good game when it actually launches. Next link today is over on desktop-reporting.com. They have this really, really nice widget for Google Analytics. It's a free download. If you want to manage more than one profile, it costs you $15 a year. The graphics of the widget are beautiful. So if you've got a site or a number of sites that you have Google Analytics bolted onto, you would definitely be, you know, interested in looking at this widget. I'd like to see a version of it on the desktop. I think they are working on a version for the desktop. Some of the screenshots though are absolutely beautiful. You need to go and have a look at it and see what's possible with it. You've got like this really nice visits, bounce rate, all the page views, everything that you would need to view on the website. Even gives you all a really nice map of the density of people, where they're coming from, how long they're on for, page views, all that sort of stuff. Really nice. Next link is over on Wired for Geek Dad. This is quite an interesting topic because it reminds you how fast things go by. 100 things to do your kids may never know about. They list a whole bunch of stuff, inserting a VHS tape into a VCR to watch a movie or to record something, Betamax tapes, mini disc and laser discs, scanning the radio dial and hearing static between stations because digital tape tuners and HD radio totally don't do that anymore. So yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I'm keeping a copy of this and keeping a link to it so that when Ella's a little bit older, she can do some of these things so she knows, you know, has a little bit of history as to what happened before they had these devices that just did everything for them. Next link is over on Maximum PC. They give you the specs and the hardware breakdown of building your own Hackintosh. I've probably posted one of these before, but what is really interesting is they started bringing out USB dongles, which allow you to basically put it into any motherboard, and it treats it like an EFI environment. So if you don't know what EFI is, it's very similar to the way that the BIOS on a PC used to work. Basically, EFI, Extensible Firmware Interface, was created by Intel to replace that old BIOS system. It doesn't work on all main motherboards, but it's getting to the point where, you know, more updates, more drivers are coming out for it. This blog post actually gives you a really good breakdown of motherboards and chips and you know, graphics cards to use to build your cheap Hackintosh. You could basically build one really, really cheap for probably about $400 or $500. And you've got to remember though that building a Hackintosh with what I would call poorer quality components, as in components that haven't been sourced directly from the manufacturer, because that's what Apple do. They actually go on site, they look at all the progress reports from the actual manufacturer, say which has been your best week, we want to buy that bunch of stock. That's why you pay the premium for Apple products. Yes, you're paying for the name, but also you're paying for them sourcing really top-end components. Finally, the last link today is a really, really good piece about information about Amazon Web Services over on Information Week. They talk about various stuff to do with the EC2 and S3 and you know, what they're doing with it. They've also disclosed on it that there's 52 billion objects are currently stored in S3, and S3 requests peak at 80,000 requests per second. I would not want to be the engineer working on that. Anyway, that's it for today. Speak to you later. Bye.